You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome into hour number two of the big program. It is 6 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock on TGIF Friday, April 18th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Great to have you along here. The end of the week coming up at the bottom of the hour. Doug Moe, great columnist, author. His new work called Saving Hearts and Killing Rats. It is a fascinating read, and I'm only a few pages in. It's about the professor at UW-Madison who created warfarin. Really, really fascinating. Doug's going to be here and talk about that in just a little bit. We're going to try to get to a what's worse on chips and beer. But first, Mr. Summers, we have seen, and this is fantastic. This is why I love doing this show. This is why I'm fortunate to have the best job around.
And why you love doing it live.
Why I love doing it live. Because I saw this article this morning, last night, whatever it was. And it's on WISN Channel 12 in Milwaukee. Headline, Wisconsin election meeting erupts as chair silences commissioner over ballot shortage. So to set this up again, we got people on the line. We'll get to the phone calls in a second. Yesterday, the Wisconsin Election Commission meets. And the reason I chose this was to single out Bob Spindell and to bring attention that this guy is a stooge, a boob, a whack job, a liar. And he's still on the commission that oversees Wisconsin elections. That's what I thought was the newsy part. That's what I thought was interesting. So the commission meets, and the purpose of the meeting was to deal with the city of Madison, where there were 200 and some odd ballots that did not get counted right away in the spring election. And so the election commission was meeting to figure out the election before, like the primary. Anyway, there was no... It wouldn't have mattered in the elections. It was an oversight. The Madison clerk has now resigned because of this. And so the election commission was following up, as they should. That was the agenda. Bob Spindell starts going on about Milwaukee ballots, which was not on the agenda. It was not germane. The commission could not take it up. And the important part for me is Bob Spindell is one of these fake electors from 2020 that tried to overturn the legitimate, free, and fair election of 2020, in which Joe Biden won the election in Wisconsin and America, and Donald Trump lost in Wisconsin and America. And Republicans created this fake slate of electors. They gave it to U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, who muled it to the U.S. Congress and try to get Pence to use those votes instead of the legitimate ones. Bob Spindell has attempted to steal an election in this state. But yet he's still on the election commission. So yesterday they bring this up, and so the chair, Ann Jacobs, gets into a shouting match with him. And I just commented that they're shouting back and forth like kids. And people seem to be more interested in my comment on that than what I thought the news was, which is fine. I just find it fascinating. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's play the cut, because instead of me talking about it, you can decide. Here is the cut, Bob Spindell and Ann Jacobs going back and forth yesterday at the Wisconsin Election Commission.
Bob,
this coupled with a black curtain and thoughts of women's constituents need to be locked
up,
and I would hope that
I am not going to let you keep going, Bob.
Well, you hear it there. Fireworks at a state election.
That was part of Channel 12's coverage. And it kept going, which as someone who worked in government a long time, I just found entertaining. Because I've been in a lot of committee meetings, and rarely does it go back and forth quite like that. Again, I'm not saying that the chair didn't have the right to try to gavel him down. I just found it entertaining. That was it. I thought the point of the story was a guy who tried to steal elections in 2020 is still making trouble today in Wisconsin elections. But what do you think? 855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines. Brian in Milwaukee, listening to WAUK. Brian, what say you?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, it's a complete, joke that, the guy tried to, overtalk everything. But, the other thing is I've been on a lot of committees and boards before with nonprofits and such. And one of the things I was always introduced to was a handbook called the Robert's Rules of Order.
Thank you.
And how everything should be done. It was one of the things I first time being on a church board. One of the members who was on the previous board said, hey, here's a handbook I have. You can get it on Amazon. Read it. It's everything you need to know about a board. And when I finally did work with another LGBT organization, national organization, and founded a chapter in the Milwaukee area, that was the first thing I told everyone that wants to be on the board. This is the book you get. This is what we're going to read. These are the way we're going to do things,
Yeah.
And if you're out of order, you're out of the board. We're not going to stand up for this. You're going to have to follow the rules that we put into place, yeah. So
no,
there's a right and a wrong way of doing things.
I told it. And Spindell was clearly out of order. You can't, better than anybody else knowing Robert's rules of order. You cannot bring up things on an agenda or the things that are not on the agenda. Unless there's like time at the end where every member gets to have a personal privilege of two minutes or whatever.
Say something. Right.
But you can't bring up business that's not on the agenda.
Or you put it on a future agenda, but correct. You don't. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We're on the same page. Thanks, Brian. Really appreciate the call. Thanks for hanging around. 855-752-4842. Out to Los Angeles we go. L.A. Tom, thanks for calling. L.A., what say you?
Well, I guess everyone's just learning from our president by, acting like him. There is no consequences for acting badly anymore. In fact, you get free press out of it. It becomes a story. Becomes clicks. It becomes where people go and see things. If I agree with Joe, if you're not coming to the table in good faith, then you know what? Enough with just being Mr. Nice Guy or Nice Person, and it gets you nothing. It gets you nothing. It doesn't get you a press. I mean, you get press like you were saying. Pete Buttigieg is throwing some F bombs around. You know what? Probably doing it partially so you get some media. Because otherwise, the media does not cover anything if it's, people just protesting out in the streets. But boy, oh boy, if there's a fire of some sort, they're covering it.
But don't you think?
I'm not in favor of people setting fires and things like that. But I'll tell you what, it's the only way sometimes you get the media.
But here's my, and I'm very interested in your take on this, LA, because you follow this stuff. And I'm a huge Pete Buttigieg fan. I supported him in the primary last time he ran when Biden got the nomination. I would love to see him run again. But one of the many things that draws me to Pete Buttigieg is he's so darn smart. But he doesn't do it from an intellectual's talking down point of view. It's very casual in real words, putting the facts out there and making his point without dropping the F-bombs, without seeming to be hyper, whatever. And the fact now that he's out of office and thinking about running for whatever, he said he's not going to run for what, U.S. Senate, maybe governor, I don't know, maybe president again. Now on social media, and it seems very forced, in my opinion. It doesn't seem like the guy I thought he was, or maybe this is the real Pete Buttigieg. I don't know. All I'm saying is I'm big on authenticity. I am far from perfect, but Zomers will tell you the way that you hear me on the air is not dramatically different than when I'm not on the air.
Some may say not different at all.
and some people may say that's a bad thing, quite frankly. But I just I don't like I'm someone who still believes in respect and discourse, and I think that when the Democrats see that, That's giving away one of the high grounds of the Democratic Party when you're going against some of these hyper-MAGA people who have no sense of discourse. Am I wrong? Tell me if I am.
Well, I agree with you 100%. My thing is, honestly, and, you know, maybe people will shame me for saying this, but I honestly don't think the way the world is right now that we'll have a gay man as president, openly gay man as president, or a woman, whether a woman of color or a woman, period, as president, because of the fact that you have 52% of the people, white women, that how do we get past that? And it just seems to me like one of the stereotypes of being the gay man might be to be just Mr. Nice Guy. And if he's just Mr. Nice Guy, there's just so many different ways that you can go about hitting stereotypes with gay people, with women.
But Ellie, I just, it isn't, please, it's not personal to you. I just think that's such a cop out. I mean, you and I have both been very open about our sexual identity on this show. And a gay man to gay man, I think that's a complete cop-out to say, well, people don't take me seriously as a gay man, so I have to act more masculine and swear more. My grandmother, as I've said on this show, was the first woman to be a dean in the Wisconsin. And I'll tell you, she didn't get that way. She didn't achieve, she didn't break that glass ceiling because she was a witch. And I'll clean it up for radio. She did it because she worked her butt off and was relentless and was stubborn. And she got people with more honey than vinegar. And she was successful. And that's the way she...
I agree with you. And I think women... Todd, I agree with you. And I think women actually can move up the ladder that way and be like the head of people that also respect them. But for some reason, the hardest and highest class ceiling of the president of the United States is a different thing. Because people can shape public opinion and shape people in a certain way. And it just seems to me that whether it's women... whether whoever it is, there's a really, really easy way to be able to shape them as suspicious, as I'll even use the word cat-like, that is interwoven into the fabric of our society. Whereas a white, straight man can kind of go and drink some beers and crack some heads, and he's basically, you know, still cool.
Yeah.
A woman does anything even near that, she's done.
Yeah.
And I think you know that already.
Yep. Yeah, I appreciate the call as always, Tom. Thanks so much. 855-752-4842. We'll come back. We have Gian on the other side. Holly in Madison says, missing the point. You are normalizing Spindell's behavior by saying it was entertaining or humorous. It's disrespectful and humiliating, and the speaker should have thrown him out. I'm not saying that. I'll say it on the other side. Stay tuned. Thank God it's Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Here comes Peter Cottontail, hopping down the bunny trail. Hippity hopping, Easter's on its way.
You see, we had a whole segment on Peeps and Easter. We were going to do it. It was going to be the fun half hour, you understand? A nice Friday, Good Friday show. Peter Cottontail? But no, people, I don't know. I find this very fascinating. Welcome back to the show, 21 past the hour, 1 o'clock, the Todd Allball Show with Aaron Zomers. April 18th. Great to have you along. I this is educational for Todd. I did a story. I thought this would be 8 minutes. It's been what, 40? WISN Channel 12 in Milwaukee was there covering the Wisconsin Election Commission yesterday. And the point of the story was that Bob Spindell is the bad guy. He tried to steal an election in Wisconsin and America in 2020. He's part of the fake electors, the Republican fake electors. Somehow, he's still on the Wisconsin Election Commission. And he was causing trouble yesterday by bringing up an item, Milwaukee ballots, with lies, by the way. on that. And it was not on the agenda. It was non-germane. That was the point of the story. And he gets into a shouting match with Commission Chair Ann Jacobs, who's gaveling them down and going back and forth. I just thought I found it entertaining. They were acting like kids. And now people are saying Todd is somehow the bad guy because Democrats are pissed and we're not going to take it anymore. Okay, fine. I just, again, my point is they're combined with the Evers story earlier of kind of doing these, and the Supreme Court today of Wisconsin upheld Evers' actions. It's legal. I don't deny that. It's getting more money to public education. I think that's a great thing. My only point is that it's disingenuous then for Democrats to come back and say somehow that they have more character or more higher moral ground. You can't have it both ways. That's my only point. So let's just all be honest with each other and say we're just going to get down in the mud and fight.
You know what my opinion on all this is?
What?
I think that you and the callers and texters disagreeing with you are having parallel conversations, and you're all agreeing.
What my old boss Dale Schultz would say, I think we're in the heat of agreement.
Yes, absolutely. That's what I think it is.
And maybe it is.
I think that what might be happening is people might be combining your two points, saying that Evers, what he did might not be the right way to do things because he abused a role of power, and that Bob Spindell is, in your words, a boob. And they're saying they might be thinking that you're criticizing the chair for maybe.
No, she was doing the right thing. And again, not even saying that Evers abused his power. Not at all. It's found constitutional. I'm just saying that politically, I'm not sure that's the best. I get why he did it. I'm just not sure that's politically expeditious. That's my only point on that.
Right.
And I don't think that Ann Jacobs, the chair of the election commission, is wrong to say that Spindell is out of order. Clearly he was. I'm not even saying she did it the wrong way. All I said was I found it entertaining.
Right. So again, I think it's the heat of agreement.
Let's go to Gene. Gene in Eau Claire, WCFW, the tap. Gene, you were a teacher. You were in education. Do I need to be put in a corner with a dunce hat?
No, I wasn't a teacher. I was a counselor. Yeah. Anyway, you're a warm, loving soul. But in our climate today, things are very hazardous. And when we sit there and we watch the garbage dumps by the mega malls, it's very infuriating. And I'm very careful. I'm not usually a cusser, but you should see me going after my TV every day, whipping the finger to the big guy. So, you know, times are tough, and we have to get rid of our stress the best way that we can.
Agreed.
So you keep up the great work, Todd.
Well, thank
you.
And happy Easter, Gene. Have a nice weekend. Thank you so much.
Yep,
appreciate you. I just find it all very, very, very interesting. And that's, I don't know. I just, we should dial up some Kenny Chesney, get along. Can't we all just get along? That's my only point. As one of my good friends from politics once said, you know, if people can't take a joke, it's just having a little, look, I get it. We're all a little on edge, right? We're all a little on edge, but I think we would all do well, myself included, if we didn't take every single thing out there so personal and breathe. As the kids say, touch grass, go for a walk, calm down a little bit. I'm not saying get rid of the passion or don't take your focus off the all the crises we have in America today. But the point of this story here, in my opinion, is that Bob Spindell is not a good person. And he has no business, as we say back home, no business being on the Wisconsin Election Commission. That's all I'm saying. Whistler, WRCE in Richland Center. Whistler calling in. Whistler, what do you think?
Well, I'll tell you what, Todd. I have to agree with you on the fact of Spindell still being on the commission. And, you know, One of your bylines is, and having fun doing it. And
right?
That's what you're doing, man.
Thank you.
You're getting the word out there, and you're enjoying it.
Thank you.
You know, and
so you get
I,
it.
I love it. It's awesome.
We appreciate
Keep
it.
At it.
Thanks, Whistler. See, he gets it. Right. He gets it. Have fun doing it. Have a little fun. Rob, listening in on the text line, says, I think a bigger issue these days is we're supposed to pick a side in all issues. But the only opinion that matters is that of the far left or the far right. No one is allowed to lean towards the middle. It is frustrating because I want a party that represents me from the middle, the moderate opinions and policies. I want compromise. Seems like an impossible ask, unquote.
I do not think you are alone.
Best take of the day, in my opinion, on this issue. Best take of the day. And I understand to a large degree people's anger and being ticked off and feeling like, well, we have to be so animated because no one's listening. We're tired of being the quote-unquote good guys. I get that. But I think what Rob is saying here is that both sides are trying to push their voters, their base, more towards the extremes. And if you even, I mean, we've seen it here in the Capitol, that if you even have dinner with a legislator from the other party, you're taken off of committees. Not healthy for democracy. What is? Doug Moe. He's going to be in, great author and columnist next. His new book called Saving Hearts and Killing Rats. Back after this, The Albo Show on Civic Media.
Drink a beer, sing a song, make a friend. Can't we all get along?
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Albo Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 now past the hour of 1 o'clock on this Friday, TGIF, April 18th, 2025. More fun doing it. That's what we need, Somers. It's Easter week. Go to an egg hunt. Well, tomorrow, because weather on Sunday not supposed to be so great. But just great. I appreciate all the discussion last hour and a half here on that. That's why I do this show. That's why I get excited about doing the show, in large part, because we can have discussions about that. So thanks, everybody. Appreciate that. Another reason I love doing this show is because my sister said this to me about 2 weeks ago. She goes, I think half the reason you do this show is just to talk to people that you want to talk to. I said, yes. Yes, you're absolutely right. And one of my favorite people to talk to, he's put on the show before. We're so happy to have him back. He is a great columnist, a great author, a great Madisonian, and he puts a part of what makes Wisconsin great, in my opinion. He is Doug Moe, and he has a brand new work out called Saving Hearts and Killing Rats, a fascinating title. Doug Moe, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd. Good to be here.
It's fantastic to have you here. First of all, just how you been? Last time we talked to you, you are here with Professor Mike Lecrone from UW Madison on his great book that I've got like one chapter left. I'm savoring it. Moments of Happiness. I know you've been touring a little bit with him, and how's that going?
It's gone really well. I'm happy for Mike. The book just went into its second printing.
Wow.
Actually, which is a big deal. Mm-hmm. And Mike's actually making noise now about doing another book. So
love it. Love it. Hey, anytime
more
you guys,
moments of happiness.
Anytime you want to come back on that, we're happy to. Let's talk a little bit about your latest work here. Again, Saving Hearts and Killing Rats, as the song says, you had me at hello. Great title. Explain where this comes from, please.
Well, the subtitle is Carl Paul Link and the Discovery of Warfarin. Mm-hmm. And warfarin is a drug that a lot of people know about, but it's twofold. It is both a rat poison, rodenticide, and a heart medicine, a blood thinner for humans. So I got first onto this when Carl Paul Link's lab at UW-Madison discovered it in the 1930s. I first got onto it. His son, Tom Link, lives here in Madison, asked me if I'd be interested. At the time, I was writing 5 newspaper columns a week.
So there's that.
But I was, a decade ago, invited not to return to the newspaper business. And,
yes, I remember it well, unfortunately. Mistake on their part. I have the honor of being Doug Moe's last interview that did not run. What a huge mistake, in my opinion, was made. But that's another bottle of wine.
Yeah, I appreciate that. But I got back to Tom Link, and I obviously I proceeded. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful story. I'm a little biased by this point, but it all starts in 1933. Link is a roughly 30-year-old young professor at UW, and on a cold February morning, a farmer shows up at the biochem building. It was then the ag building. And he's got a dead cow, a bucket of cow's blood, and some sweet clover hay. His name was Ed Carlson. He was just 21 years old. His cows had been dying. If they rubbed up against barbed wire, for instance, and started to bleed, their blood wouldn't clot. It wouldn't stop. Mm-hmm. And they had some internal bleeding deaths as well. He was terribly frustrated and worried. And he tried to find the ag experiment station and couldn't, or it was Saturday, I guess, and so maybe they were closed. He found his way to Link's lab. Link, luckily, was there. And, you know, denouement is it launched Link and his grad students on a 7-year, journey to find what it was that was causing these cows to bleed to death. And as it turns out, it was something in their feed. It was when the sweet clover got spoiled, got wet. They ate it. That's the thing that was the hemorrhagic agent that caused them. And Link and his assistants were able to isolate what it was in the sweet clover and recreate it synthetically and turn it into what was the first version, which was called dicumarol. Mm-hmm. And circa 1940 or so, it was patented by Worf here in Madison and used as a human anticoagulant.
I'm only, and Doug was so kind to send me an advanced copy, and I'm ashamed to say I'm only a few pages in so far, but what are the, and you explained it very well, but maybe to some people say, well, I'm not so sure that a book on all this chemical, all this chemist stuff is going to be, but the way that you write everything, but the way you've written this, it's very user-friendly, and it draws you into the narrative of this story.
Well, it helped that I was an English major, and am not a scientist by any means. So, I had to kind of learn the language a little bit, but I try to write it in a way that it's accessible for everybody. Also really helped, and this is the key, by the fact that Carl Paul Link was a fascinating guy.
Really?
A brilliant scientist, mm-hmm. but also a total iconoclast from everything from his dress. You know, he'd wear capes, little Frank Lloyd Wright in him almost. And very much an anti-authoritarian. He sparred with the UW administration. Mm-hmm. He was actually censured by the Board of Regents. And he loved to point out that in that same meeting that they censured him, they gave him a raise.
so that is fantastic.
You know, so the book is a biography of Link, but the center of it, I guess, the through line, I guess, would be the discovery of warfarin. And of course, warfarin, as I say, it started out as a blood thinner for humans called dicumarol. Maybe 6 or 7 years in, Link had tuberculosis, and he spent a few different times in a sanitarium here in Madison, and the one in roughly the mid 40s, he started reading up about rodenticides, mm-hmm. and it dawned on him that perhaps a stronger version of dicumarol might be used as a rat poison, and indeed, he had his lab graduates start working on that. They came up with a stronger compound, stronger than the dicumarol human anticoagulant, and ended up patenting that as well. And that was called warfarin, which is a combination of Worf, the Wisconsin mm-hmm. Alumni mm-hmm. Research Foundation, and coumarin, which is part of the scientific thing of what makes the anticoagulant actually work. So it's warfarin. And that was patented in the late 40s and became available, I think, as a rat poison circa 1951 or two. Mm-hmm. Really wildly successful, Todd. There were, you know, I found newspaper headlines worldwide about it. It was a big deal.
Oh, yeah. No.
And then it also dawned on Link that, maybe a version of this warfarin, stronger than dicumarol, but maybe not as strong as the rat poison could be used as a for humans, a human anticoagulant. Yeah. Now they faced a large worry was, are people going to want to take something that's also a rat poison?
Right.
it's tweaked a little bit, and they called it warfarin sodium. Mm-hmm. The trade name is now Coumadin. Mm-hmm. But it took a little while, and it was, I think, 1955. Dwight Eisenhower famously had a heart attack while he was still president out in Colorado. And Lincoln and his lab had trademarked warfarin as a human anticoagulant, but it hadn't gotten any real legs yet. And a former UW lab assistant of Link's wrote from Denver to Link, President Eisenhower is taking one of your anticoagulants, and it's not dicumarol.
Right.
So all of a sudden that really put warfarin on the map as something for humans.
What a connection. What a connection. We're talking with Doug Moe, journalist, author, and columnist. His latest book called Saving Hearts and Killing Rats, Carl Paul Link and the Discovery of Warfarin. Doug, a couple of thoughts from both sides of this story. My paternal grandparents were dairy farmers, and so I used a lot of warfarin on the farm to get rid of rats and rodents and that kind of thing. My maternal grandmother, who I talked about earlier in the show, of course, Marge Wallace, who was the first dean of a UW system college at UW Richland, she had longtime heart problems, and she was a longtime taker of Coumadin. And she used to joke around about it and say, well, if anybody's got any rats, I can put a couple of these out. They can. And she goes, she'd tell people I'm on rat poison. That's what keeps me alive, joke around about it. But I just think how many people had their loved ones with them for how many more years because of this discovery?
Yeah, very true. And Link won what's called the Lasker Award, which is there's a Lasker Foundation. He won it twice. He's one of only a half a dozen people to ever win that twice, and it's widely viewed as a precursor for the Nobel Prize. Now, Link never did win that. There's some thought that it was his flair for controversy that may have prevented him from getting that highest of honors. One of his students, Stanford Moore, went on and won a Nobel. Mm-hmm. And in fact, Carl had studied with Fritz Pregel in Europe as a student, and Pregel was a Nobel winner, so he was all around it. But, you know, in the 1950s, Carl, he was faculty advisor for two different student organizations on campus here in Madison that both were very left-leaning, radical to a degree. Mm-hmm. And the UW, again, the Board of Regents kind of came after him for that, but he stood his ground. He famously feuded, too, Todd, mm-hmm. with one with Harry Steenbach, who was famous for figuring out that vitamin D could cure rickets. He was a scientist of Link's stature. Mm-hmm. Another unfortunate feud that Carl had was with one of his grad students, Mark Stahmann. And it had to do with credit for discovering warfarin. And
wow.
It's one of the more interesting chapters in the book. And in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel review, I think it was in that review, mm-hmm. that one of the reviewers said that how scientific credit is accredited, how it's given, the give and take. Mm-hmm. It's not always really clear, is one of the more intriguing parts of this story.
I encourage people not only to check out the book, but also this article that Doug mentioned, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, entitled Wisconsin Book of the Month, Saving Hearts and Killing Rats on Scientists Behind Warfarin. It's by Jim Higgins. It's really a great read, very complimentary, well-deserved, I might say, from what I've seen so far. I don't mean we have about a couple minutes left here before 3 minutes before the first break. I don't mean to draw politics too much into this and comment as much or little as you want. I just think this, as Mike Lucas likes to say, timely, timely indeed, with all this discussion of our universities right now in this country and the value this book illustrates, the life-saving value that our universities provide.
Of university research.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It more than crossed my mind now that this controversy, which, you know, I'll be honest, I'm definitely on the side of funding university research. I don't even see how that's political.
I know.
You know, I mean, Todd, you know, I did a book with a Republican governor,
mm-hmm.
Tommy Thompson. And mm-hmm. Tommy was a huge supporter of the university.
Yeah. Secretary of Health and Human Services.
It just made sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, thanks for mentioning that. I hope that that in a way, stories like this from days past might shed some light on current reasons why we should think really hard about discouraging funding for research.
And yes, it's a great read and entertaining, if I can use the word, the way it's written and informative. But I just think so often in our political discourse, and the last hour is probably a good example, we start kind of maybe talking past each other a little bit. People say, you know, well, what do we really get from universities? You know, and there's a lot of stereotypes. But here in this book, Saving Hearts and Killing Rats, Karl Paul Link and the Discovery of Warfarin, we find out exactly what our university system and why I believe the University of Wisconsin, the land-grant university, is one of the finest in the world.
Yeah, couldn't agree more.
It's really, really a great read. We're coming up here about a minute or so before the break, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more about this. But I also want to touch on another book you're working on with a guy that I was honored to get to know, former State Senator Fred Risser. What a guy.
Yeah, and Todd, that book is actually done. We just got the last blurb. You know, you asked people to, Tammy Baldwin gave a wonderful salute to the book.
Great.
So it'll be out in August.
We'll come back, talk more about this. Right now we're talking about Saving Hearts and Killing Rats with Doug Moe right here on a Friday edition of the Todd Allball Show. You're listening across the state of Wisconsin to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, where it is 9 before the hour of 2 o'clock. At the top of the hour, ABC or CBS News, depending upon which of our stations across Wisconsin you're listening to. A weather update. Remember, some strong storms. Madison over towards Milwaukee may be rolling through later this afternoon into tonight. Keep it tuned to wherever you get your local weather, because it could get bumpy here on out later into the afternoon. Our great sports reporter Mike Clemens is in with a sports update, and then it's another edition of the Maggie Dawn Show every afternoon from 2 until 4, and then later on from 6 until 8, our friend Pete Schwabba with Nightlight. Always a great way to cap off your week, Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, starting at 6 o'clock. Right now we're talking to a wonderful guy, Doug Moe, author of Saving Hearts and Killing Rats. It's Karl Paul Link and the Discovery of Warfarin. He's a journalist, a columnist, a writer, all-around great guy. Doug Moe, I'm serious about this because there are two people, and Zomers will tell you this, I say it off the air, I say it to our co-executive producer, CP. There are two people that I'm just like, set me up with brandy or whatever you got there and let me listen to them. It's you and John Roach.
Yep.
And I think sometime if you're down this summer, because they just put out the Sunburst Chairs at the Union, one of my favorite, if not the favorite place of mine in Madison. I'm thinking we do a show at the Union with you and John Roach one afternoon, and we just sit around and talk.
You know, I'm the guy that inflicted Roach on the Madison Magazine reading
really?
Public. I was the editor in 1992, I think it was, when John started his column. And he was a friend, and he used to talk a lot at lunch and that sort of thing, talk smart.
Right, right.
And I'd say, well, you should, stop talking and maybe write some of this stuff. And he did that back page column, and he ended up doing it. Who knew? But he ended up doing it for about 30 years.
It was awesome.
And Yeah, we'll do that.
This summer. All right. At hand here, I want to get to a couple of things. I got about 5 minutes plus here left. Just a note on this, Doug. On the current work that we're talking about, Saving Hearts and Killing Rats, the story of Warfarin at UW-Madison, one of our callers or watchers in L.A. Tom out there says, can I just take rat poison basically as medication? No, the answer is no, but you have a quick story about that.
Yeah, and it's in the book. There was a Navy serviceman who he was despondent, and tried to commit suicide by ingesting Warfarin, the rat poison, and it didn't do him any good, but he didn't die.
Right.
And that was actually one of the springboards for Link to start thinking about, okay, maybe this rat poison in a slightly different form could be used as a human anticoagulant.
Wow.
The other quick one I'll share was when I was writing my newspaper column back in the early 2000s, mm-hmm. A book came out by a Yale professor named Joseph Brent. It was a book on Joseph Stalin, the Soviet dictator. And it postulated that warfarin may have been used to kill Stalin.
Really?
Brent did not know even what warfarin was. I ended up interviewing him for the newspaper column. And as he had gotten some classified Russian documents, and he found it kind of a medical history, and he showed it to two doctors at Yale. Asked what does this look like? How did Stalin die? And they said, well, it looks like it was either cerebral hemorrhage or warfarin poisoning.
Wow.
That hasn't been proved either way. But you know, his generals were getting a little worried about Stalin, and who knows?
And to complete the circle, right? Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, because Brent, in our telephone interview, said, wouldn't it be ironic if one of the biggest rats in history was killed by rat poison?
Exactly. I was saying, it was Stalin's daughters who ended up coming to Wisconsin to live out her life in my home county, Richland County.
I interviewed Svetlana. I spent an afternoon with her in her apartment in Richland Center.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, there was a documentary film coming out about her. She was very private. Didn't ever give interviews.
Right.
But she got worried about this documentary film, and so she did a preemptive strike and called the State Journal and said, I will give an interview. I want to talk about the film. And I got lucky. I got to go up there and talk to her. And, you know, it was really quite amazing. We ended up really kind of becoming friends of a sort. We spoke on the phone a lot after that. But she gave me a quote that the New York Times used as the final line in its obituary when Svetlana died. Wow. She was going by the name Lana Peters when she lived here. But at one point in our conversation, she said, it doesn't matter where I go, you know, India, Great Britain, France, Richland Center, I'll always be a political prisoner of my father's name. And I thought, wow. And I used that, of course, in my State Journal column. And like I say, the New York Times lifted it and closed their obit with it.
Incredible. Yeah. Powerful. I mean, almost goosebumps, really. The book is called Saving Hearts and Killing Rats, Carl Paul Link and the Discovery of Warfarin. It is an incredible read so far that I've gotten through it. I encourage. What is you're having a book signing? It comes out on when?
Yeah, May 8th at Mystery to Me in Madison on Monroe Street. It's a wonderful independent bookstore. Stu Levitan is going to be interviewing me, a historian and author. So it should be a fun evening.
Yeah, so May 8th, Mystery to Me Books on Monroe Street here in Monroe. Stop down. I have the pleasure
in Madison.
I'm on Monroe Street in Madison. Thank you. Have the pleasure of meeting Doug Moe and getting to hear a little bit more about this great work. We'll have you back on again and talk about the Risser book coming out.
I'd enjoy that. That one's called Forward for the People.
Forward for the People.
The autobiography of America's longest serving legislator.
I was there when it
64
happened.
64 years.
Yeah, it was an incredible mark where he became the longest-serving legislator ever.
Fred turns 98 next month.
Love it. We always love having you, Doug Moe. Thank you very much. Appreciate you, my friend.
Thanks, Todd.
Have a great weekend, everybody. Maggie Dawn is next. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. Have a blessed and safe Easter weekend. We'll see you on Monday. Take care, everybody. Keep banging on your drum.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.